Joyeux Bastille Day to all our French friends. It's the 4th of July, French style, and the sparks are flying. The sparks will also be flying on today's show. So hello, everyone. I'm Lauren Leibowitz, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio and How to Be Comfortable in Your Own Shoes. It's Thursday, July 14th, and once again, we are coming to you live from Los Angeles. I want to thank you all for joining us today. And you know what? We'd love to hear from you. So please call in to listen live or ask questions at 347-857-2710. Those 10 digits are 347-857-2710. And you can also email me at goodvibeexperience@gmail.com. That's goodvibe, V-I-B-E, experience. @gmail.com. So let's get the fireworks going. Curious, tenacious, funny, and creative, describe my guest today. As a writer, her golden opportunity happened when president and editor-in-chief of Lit Fest magazine, Amanda Goosen, gave her the opportunity to write book and music reviews for her magazine. This experience evolved into writing her own column entitled Artists Paying It Forward, and thus Teresa Barron's literary career soared. So please give a warm welcome to Therese Barron. Hi, Therese.
Hi, how are you?
Groovy, how are you?
I'm cool.
I knew it. Yeah. Come on, girlfriend. We're getting down on the radio today.
Yes,
ma'am. So as I mentioned in the intro, you write a column for Lit Fest magazine, which is a consortium of passionate people who write about literature, food, and music. So how did the two of you meet?
Actually, Amanda Goosen moved in next door to me and lived by me for a couple of years. We got to know each other across the fence, and then she told me that she was working on a magazine, and she was looking for people to do book reviews. I'm a voracious reader, as are my daughters, and so my oldest daughter and I both started doing book reviews. I do more of the suspense novels and chick books and all of that, and my daughter does young adult and children's books. And then she has several other people who are reading and doing book reviews. So it kind of fed into what I really like to do anyway. And it was just a great opportunity. And she has given me the opportunity to grow by then adding in the column and going out and meeting all these interesting people in addition to it.
Well, your column is entitled Artists Paying It Forward. Now, was this a dream child of yours? You came up with the concept, or did Amanda have some input in that as well?
I came up with the concept. My ex-husband is in the music industry here in Los Angeles, and through him I had the opportunity to meet an awful lot of interesting people, which then led to other groups and other groups and other groups. So I've been it's been kind of like this ongoing growth of people, and I really have always been interested in what people are into and what makes them laugh and what kinds of things that they do with their lives other than do just the J-O-B. So it was kind of a natural growth for me, and like I said, she was gracious enough and open enough to saying, okay, let's do it. So I've always felt blessed that she walked into my life, because that was an opportunity I don't think I would have gotten any other way.
It's funny how I want to say the universe or life presents opportunities for us. And sometimes they're usually right in front of us or in our own backyards, as your experience seemed to be, because I always think people tend to look outside themselves. Do you find that? Mm-hmm. And that they don't really look within or right in their own quote-unquote neighborhood, the answers are usually there.
Absolutely. I think that there's an awful lot of opportunities. I know that I walked away from opportunities because of fear. And last year I just decided that I was, whatever doors opened for me, I was going to walk through them. And that's what my last, about 2 years have been. And it's been wonderful. It's been really exciting.
That's very interesting, because we had talked prior to coming on the show, and you wrote, you mentioned that before, walking through whatever door came through you. I wanted you to expand on that a little bit. You mentioned fear got in your way. What was it that allowed you to let go of that fear?
It was actually kind of interesting. My children are grown. They're out of college. They're on their own. And I was sitting here looking at the empty nest. I actually started a group of women where we're all empty nesters, and we get together like once a month. We've been together for 6 years. And then my daughter, another one of my youngest daughter, just ended up moving out on her own after college. She was home for a little bit, then she moved out again. So I was like, I have all this time. I have the house. I didn't want to be just sitting here. I knew nobody was going to come knocking on my door and saying, hey, guess what, Therese? I have these exciting experiences for you.
Right.
So,
don't you wish?
Yeah. I mean, like, you know, that would be just the perfect world. So I decided that I had to leave myself to be open for things. So I've gone to visit friends who have bands. When they've played around, I get up, go out, and see them. I'm supportive of them. I have women friends who are I have one woman friend who's an actress who's been really involved in a breast cancer charity, and I've worked with that charity for several years running their kitchen. They do an English tea. And so I've met lots of interesting people through that group. And, you know, just every place I go, it seems like I met people at cocktail parties. I like going into places where I know nobody so I can just find out about people.
Talk about going into a fear-based scenario for a lot of people. That's out of one's comfort zone. And I think I applaud you, and I hope our listeners really get a big hit from what you just said. It's about taking that step forward, being somewhat vulnerable, and just jumping in.
And being interested in what other people are doing. I think that part of the fear is when you look at, for me, looking at just, you know, how are people going to perceive me? If I put all my focus there, then it's incapacitating. If I'm looking at other people and going, what do you bring to the table? And I get to talk to them and find out about what they're involved in, then all the fear goes away.
It's very true, and I think when you go into a social situation, if you have the intention of, like you said, wanting to learn more about that other person and ask those questions, then the fear of, in a sense, maybe exposing yourself is not as great.
True, and it doesn't have to be big, heavy stuff. You know, one of my favorite things to find out about people is what makes them laugh, because I love good humor. And so when you sit and talk to people, or you can find that commonality of senses of humor and things, it's a nice, it breaks all the ice. It's just kind of a real easy way to jump off from there. You know.
So what makes you laugh, Therese?
I like intelligent, kind of sardonic, but not too sarcastic humor. I like some just really raunchy humor. I like a
like
variety.
Like bathroom humor?
I don't like bathroom humor so much. I just interviewed a woman yesterday for my column. Her name is Suzanne Wong, and she does stand-up comedy, and it's just real, in-your-face kind of comedy. I watched her on YouTube, and I laughed so hard, and I thought, somebody's going to arrest me if they saw me sitting here laughing by myself. But it was just, like, really intelligent but hard-hitting and just kind of hitting all the boundaries. And it was just fun for me. So I like a variety of things. I'm not a real slapstick person, but, I, you know, when you can kind of get on a certain plane with people where you just kind of lock into each other. And one of my daughters and I, both of them, we just can get on a roll and just find humor in just the most ridiculous things and laugh.
I think that's beautiful to laugh every day, and having done stand-up in a previous life, I always tend to approach a lot of experiences with a sense of humor, and it's very interesting how a lot of people don't have one, or they don't get it. Or,
well,
you know, like if I board a plane and I say hello to the flight attendant, I'll say, can you tell me, am I in the orchestra section? And a lot of people, you know, I'm sure they're busy with other things.
They stare at you.
They look at you, and then they oh, right, orchestra, that's funny.
<Da-da-dum>.
You know, and then when you have, you know you're in trouble when you have to say, it's just a joke, I'm just kidding. But I like to kind of get a little rise out of people because I say it with a straight face.
Yeah, I totally get that.
And if you can have fun during your day with like that, and sometimes you will be surprised when you really find someone who gets you and knows you're kidding, and then you have this little word play, and it's just, it's lovely.
It is. It is fun.
So where do you find these people to write about in your column?
The first place that I went to, there's a choir that I've been fortunate enough to sing with at the holidays every year. And this choir was put together like 30-some years ago. I sang with them 20-some years ago, then didn't for a few years and came back to them. It's called the National Inn Choir. And it was put together by two singers, Deborah Pearl and Rosemary Butler. Deborah Pearl is a jazz singer, scriptwriter, multi-talented woman. Rosemary Butler is an amazing singer, sings with Jackson Browne. She's just has her own album coming out. And I had a friend of ours from when we all went to music school back in the old days at Dick Grove in the 80s, early 80s, late 70s, who was singing with the choir, brought me into it. And then when I came up with this idea, I thought, there are literally hundreds of singers who have sung with this choir. There's celebrities, there's people from church choirs, all these places. And we show up, everybody in this choir shows up to gigs Saturdays and Sundays between Thanksgiving and Christmas. We do 2-3 gigs a day sometimes, and Deborah Pearl puts the whole thing together, organizes it, sets up all of the connections. We go to the VA hospital and all these things. So I wanted to know what motivated them. And because these are women who are extremely busy, but they always make the time to give back. All of the singers that show up make the time to give back. One of the people I met there was Mark Islam, who has this grassroots acoustica group. And he, for 4 years, he's done a fundraiser every single month. And now it's down at the Talking Stick Coffee Lounge in Venice. And he raises money for a different charity every single month. He's somebody who works really hard in the TV industry. He's done music himself, but he finds this way for giving back. And they've raised, you know, a very nice amount of money, and it's just been kind of a gift.
Seth, well, you know, it's great. It doesn't. I think people sometimes feel that you have to do a whole big show, or you know, it has to be so elaborate, and it really doesn't. If you had 10 people and you charged $10 and you made $1,000 or $100, you know, it's $100.
He doesn't even do that. He doesn't even charge a cover charge. People just put money in the basket because he gets great performers. Everyone donates their time, so there's no overhead.
That's great.
Yeah, and that's what I've been seeing, is that in the artistic community with the painters, the singers, the photographers, the actors, people have this giving spirit, and some of them do it publicly, some of them do it very quietly, but I've seen it over and over and over. You get some people, obviously, who don't make time to do things, but I really seem to gravitate towards the people who do. And
what do you think what is a common thread between all these people that have this giving spirit?
I just think that they all are really grateful for everything that's in their lives, and so they want to be able to help somebody else. I think that that's what it is. I think people feel blessed, no matter whether they're financially successful or not, and they see needs, and they know how to go and make a difference.
That's true, because success means different things to different people, and it's not always a financial success, but if you have a craft or a passion and you want to continue that passion, and if you do that passion, then obviously you're successful at it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So you're singing. Is that a hidden passion of yours as well?
You know, it's been a hidden passion of mine, but it's one that I had chosen not to follow for a long time because I had children to raise, and that was my priority. One of the things that I see the difference between the professional singers and myself is that that's been their focus, and they put a huge amount of work into it, and that was never the choice that I made. So when I get to sing with the choir with all these phenomenal singers every year, I feel blessed, I smile, and it's a wonderful thing for me.
I agree. I have a friend who at one time wanted to pursue a singing career and kind of be a chanteuse, you know, a more cabaret or club kind of singing, and it never materialized for similar reasons or mm-hmm. her own reasons, but sings with a choir and feels fulfilled by the act of singing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because sometimes we are confronted with situations that just don't work out, but yet there's that creativity burning inside. So how can you still, you know, feed that passion, that creativity inside in a different way?
Well, I sang with a church choir a few years ago, and we got to go sing at Carnegie Hall. And
oh, you're kidding. That's on my bucket list.
Oh, and it was a phenomenal experience, and it's just fun to be able to say I sang at Carnegie Hall. And, you know, it was one of those, you know, pay-to-play kind of things, but it still was an amazing experience. Just to be able to stand on the stage and look out over this amazing place. And so it's just been, you know, I think because when you step out of your comfort level a little bit and you try things on, I had a singing teacher years ago who just said anytime a negative thought comes in your head, he said, picture yourself dropping it on the ground and stamping it down. And that's what I've done when I sing. And it's really kind of a nice thing because then there's not the stage fright, there's not, nothing's fear-based. It's just when I do it, I can enjoy it.
Exactly. And sometimes if we look at putting our intention or our goal in a performance somewhere else, if mm-hmm. we look to whatever we want to learn from that experience, if it's about I want to be vulnerable, learn to be vulnerable, because I've learned in my own experience that when you're, like you just mentioned, in that vulnerable state, that's where all the magic lies.
Absolutely.
And you never know what you're going to learn or glean from that experience unless you just kind of jump in. And you have to kind of know that you're not really going to, I don't want to label it as failing or hurt yourself. It's just going to be another experience, and it's going to be exciting.
Well, even the bad stuff, you walk away and you've learned something. You know, even if you have an uncomfortable experience with something, and I just am like, what did I learn from it, you know? So.
Yeah, I mean, hey, what good would it be if they were all positive experiences? Kind of boring.
Right. It's like giving every kid a trophy, you know. Nobody learns that sometimes you win, sometimes you lose.
Well, yeah, well, so. that kind of unfortunately happens a little bit today with the younger generation.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of trial and error. As someone said once that Einstein, I'm not quite sure of this quote, but it wasn't the number of failures it took to create electricity, it was the number mm-hmm. of steps that it took.
Yeah.
And I kind of like the way that's phrased because, yes, a step that you take may not be the right step, but it's not a failure because I think a lot of people associate failure with you're bad, you didn't work out, there's something wrong with you, instead of, oh, here was an opportunity that needs to be tweaked. It's necessary to take you to the next step.
Absolutely. Plus, I think that there's a whole thing of, you know, there's power in numbers. There's power in, like, the breast cancer group that I work with. It's a bunch of women who helped. There's a woman that we know who's stage 4 breast cancer, who's been going 8 years that way, who decided to start a breast cancer charity to help other women. And all these other people jumped in, and they have done things that, by themselves, not one of them, I think, could have really pulled off to the magnitude that it's gotten to be, but because all anyone needs is a phone call saying, can you come help? And just saying yes is such a good thing, but too many people that I see are just so busy in their own lives that they don't step out to help somebody else. They don't make that jump and say, okay, I may not, like when I went to run the kitchen, I can't cook. I'm a terrible cook. But I'm a good organizer, and so they said, can you come and help out in the kitchen? And then I learned from the caterer that ran it, and then she quit after a year because she had growing kids, and I took it over. And I'm like, how funny is this that the worst cook in the whole group is running the kitchen? But people donate the food, so it's just an organization thing. But if you look at the power of the numbers of all of these people who make a huge difference up in the Santa Clarita Valley, my friend Jordana Capra is an actress who does that, and she just, you know, between all of, she's got all kinds of things she's involved in, but the charity stuff and helping others and paying it forward is always a priority. And I think that's what I'm attracted to in the people that I know, is that they are the people that I really enjoy as close friends, is that they're constantly looking for what can I do to help.
Well, you know what? I liken it to, and this might not be the best example, but you know when you're going on a date with a guy and inevitably there's that conversation of sex, you know, or, you know, or the first kiss or something romantic. And the guy's attitude is just on that level. He's focused on when can I get the kiss, when can we consummate a relationship, etc. But if he comes from a different approach of how can I help you, what is it that you want, what makes you feel comfortable, then he's going to get what he wants anyway. So when people give, you get back 10 times or 1,000 times back. It's truly
absolutely
amazing.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. So I always say, just do the sex first and get it out of the way.
I have no comment.
You know what? And you know, when you're a woman of maybe a certain age, I mean, the younger generation, if you're, you know, in your teens, you want to explore. But hey, you know what? Life is short. You don't have a lot of time to figure it all out. So you just kind of, like you say, just jump in and squash out that fear with your foot and see what happens, right?
Well, after raising daughters, I still have no comment.
Yeah. Now, how old are your daughters?
I have a 24-year-old and a 29-year-old.
Okay, so they're on their own with their own relationships and experiencing, trying to be comfortable in their own shoes, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, that's good.
Through
so,
the discovery years.
I'm sorry?
The discovery years is the 20s, I think. Trying to identify who you're going to be as an adult.
True, yeah. I think, we're all still kind of looking. It's never over. It's just another chapter of who you are at another time of life, and that's interesting. I don't think you want it to be over. You want it to say, oh, that was interesting. I learned that, so what's next?
Absolutely.
So who is what is your current article about? Who are you featuring?
It's about Suzanne Wong,
woman
that I told you does the stand-up comedy. I met with her last night to interview her, and she is really interesting to me because she's got so many strengths. She's done acting. She's a minister. She is a comedian. She did a lot of charity work before she found out she had cancer, and is now, for the first time in her life, having to learn the lesson of how to accept help from others. And that was a lot of what we talked about last night and a lot of what the article will be about.
I think that's a wonderful area to explore because a lot of us have difficulty in asking for help. And through my own experience, I've learned that when you do ask others for help, most people are willing and available to help you. It's amazing.
Absolutely. And, well, I found that out after I got divorced. I was having a very tough time, and everyone was like, well, we thought that you wanted to be divorced, so we thought it would just be real easy. And I was like, you know, the whole transition is so different from anything that you could imagine. And as soon as I spoke up, people were like, what can I do to help? But it was until I verbalized it, and that was where the onus was on me. So you're right. You have to speak up. You have to say, please help me, or I need whatever. And I'm finding that the people near and dear will step up and help.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. It amazes me every time because you would never think about the generosity of people and where it comes from. And sometimes it's the not knowing can be very difficult for us who are wanting to plot our paths in lives, and you come to a fork in the road where you don't know, and sometimes it's okay to not know.
Absolutely.
and you just kind of to move on. I did want to ask you this one interesting question, which I find interesting. I ask a lot of people. If you were to have a host a dinner party, who would you invite? What interesting people would you like to invite to interview at your dinner party?
I would love to have dinner with Michelle Obama. I think she'd be fascinating. I like her energy. Man, I'm blanking out.
Well, maybe it's just you and Michelle Obama.
Maybe it is. You know,
since you're not gonna plate, right? You're gonna have other people cater it for you.
Yeah.
I think she would be a very interesting.
To see a woman that can balance public life, family life, being the first lady, I find her to be gracious, intelligent, and to bring many talents to the table, and with class. So I would love to find out more about her with that.
Yeah, women are very they're amazing. We can do it all. In a sense, and it's about balancing. How do we balance our lives? And before we run out of time, which we are almost at the end of our fabulous time together, I do want to let our listeners know where they can read your column, Artist Paying It Forward. They can go to lipfestmagazine.com and find out about you and your column. And they can also get in touch with you personally at Atlanta, Atlanta 51 at roadrunner.com. And maybe there is an aspiring artist out there that might be the next subject for your column.
And the other thing is on the magazine, there's wonderful book reviews, there's music reviews, there's food reviews. She has really made it an effort to kind of look out over all of the things that are going on that are interesting to people so that they can, you know, maybe have some guidance on how to find things that are fun and interesting. So I think that, and if you want to write to Amanda, you can find her at LitFest Magazine.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Therese, it's been a delight having you on the show today, and you're inspiring, and good luck with Artists Paying It Forward. I look forward to following up with you on all your articles. And again, you can find out more about Therese Barron at litfestmagazine.com, and her email is atlanta51@roadrunner.com. Thank you so much, Therese.
Thank you, Lauren. I really appreciate it.
Great. And please join me next time for another wild and crazy journey in someone else's shoes, as my guest will be America's funniest comic, Matthew Moore, along with a very, very special guest. This is Lauren Leibowitz, and thank you so much for joining me and listening to How to Be Comfortable in Your Own Shoes. We'll see you next time, and I look forward to helping you find comfort in your own shoes. We'll leave you with Full Moon by Caroline Waters. You gotta find you.